This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
You? This is a different sort of sesshin for me. Usually I'm the one running around doing all the chores, doing the han and the doan and the kitchen and washing dishes and cleaning the zendo. And but this time I was actually doshi today because I'm giving this talk. And I will tell you that I received Jukai in 2018, just 3 years ago, from Angie Boyce-Evain, my first teacher. My current teacher is Paula Jones, who gave our introductory talk on Monday. And I'd like to say how calm this sesshin is. None of the too much rushing around. We're doing a beautiful job with noble silence. And it's such a joy to be here. The topic of my talk is body and mind through form. And I will say that this talk has evolved through the last few days and has had to be kind of reworked a little bit because it seems that between Pamela and Paula and I, we have this theme going and we want to cite the same roshis and we want to say the same kind of things. So I thought I would switch it up just a little bit. But first I want to start with what I was originally going to start with. Denkoe sesshin, once again. Denkoe is traditionally held here at Jikoji in autumn when light begins to fade and days become shorter. A time to gather light before the darker days of winter come. So Denkoe means transmission of light or gathering of light. And what light is this? Light that is within each of us. Light that emanates from us. Sometimes the light is just a flicker when we're feeling troubled. But to be here, to sit a sesshin, means that part of the light within you is trust. Trust in yourself. You wouldn't be here if you didn't trust who you are. You must also have trust in others, in those of us here, the Sangha, to create this beautiful gathering. So thank you for being here. Thank you for your trust. Sesshin means to touch or listen to the mind. I'd like to think of this Sesshin as the gathering of us individuals coming to this beautiful place to shine or flicker together and to, as Koban would say, embrace mind. Angie Boisevain said, "The meaning of Sesshin is gathering the mind and the body. It sounds a little schizzy, as if there were a mind and a body and they were separate. And then we somehow paste them together in the Zendo. But our experience in that there is separation. Sometimes it feels like our Zazen practice is about our mind. We think of it as taming our mind. We get so involved with what the mind is doing. But first and foremost, it's a physical practice. It's a body practice. Coming home to our body is the only way of Zazen. There's no Zazen without it. Once we allow the body of us to be conscious, we become aware of the mystery of it, the deep mystery of it." The main activity during Sesshin is Zazen, Shikantaza, or just sitting without any expectation of gaining mind. I'll say that again. Shikantaza, or just sitting without expectation of gaining mind. Shikantaza is a word Dogen Zenji used for the Zazen he practiced and taught. Okamura writes, "In practicing Shikantaza, no mantra or object of meditation is used, and no technique for controlling or eliminating mental activity is employed. The practitioner simply sits in the upright Zazen posture, breathing naturally while letting go of thoughts and emotions as they arise and dissipate." Yesterday, Ocean instructed us beautifully on ways to keep our Zazen sustainable. I'd now like to talk about a few of the activities that we do here in the Zendo. So if you're sitting on a zafu and your legs are folded, your knees rest on the zabutan so that you have stability on three points, your pelvis and your knees. If your knees don't touch, you can use flat pillows. When you start Zazen, you'll want to lean forward from your waist as instructed by Oshin as far as you can, and then sit up. This gets all the stuff out of the way of your sits bones. This helps your pelvis tilt slightly forward. Keep your spine straight, keeping your, of course, the natural curve of your lower back. That's very important. It curves inward like this, just slightly. We want to keep that. We don't want to round it. And our spine will be straight all the way up through the back of your skull, all the way up here. It doesn't end at your neck. It's up here. And then you'll straighten your spine as if a string from the sky is pulling you upward. Take a deep breath and round your shoulders back and gently release them. This also pulls your chest up, allowing for your breath to flow through your body to the bottom of your abdomen. Tuck your chin in just a bit. Your mouth will be closed with your teeth slightly touching, tongue on the roof of your mouth. There are different ways to achieve the gaze. First, with your straight spine and your head, you're going to look ahead, look straight in front of you, and then close your eyes. Relax your face, your eyebrows. Now open your eyes slightly, so you might see 5 feet in front of you. However, most of the time, you'll be facing a wall. So you'll just be imagining being able to see a few feet in front of you. Soften your belly. Soften your buttocks, your thighs. Your hands are in a cosmic mudra. Take your right hand and as if you're going to karate chop right underneath, like in the middle of your belly, with your palm up. Take your left hand, place it on top of your right hand with your middle knuckles touching. And the tips of your thumbs slightly touching, as if a piece of paper could slip in between. Breathe naturally. Now curve the corners of your mouth up slightly. It's a slight smile. Physiologically, this gives us pleasure. And you will see so many statues and pictures of Buddha with this slight smile. One of the other activities we do is qinghing. This is walking meditation. When the bells sound twice to start qinghing and you bow in your seat, you get up gently from your seat, always turning clockwise or to your right. Everything in Zen is clockwise. During sesshin, however, there is no bowing after you stand up. You just stand straight up. Just face in the direction of the walking circle. Your spine is straight. Your head is in the same position as in Zazen, with your ears in line with your shoulders. Look straight ahead and then lower your gaze to about 5 feet in front of you. The fingers of your left hand gently encircle your left thumb. Your right hand covers the front of your hand. And your right thumb rests on top of the left hand. This is held against your body with your forearms parallel to the floor. On the exhale, lift one foot slightly from the floor, and like a ski, your foot stays flat as you lift it and take a small step forward. How small? About half the length of your standing foot. So it would be like this. Stay with your breath, taking a small step with each out breath. This is a small section from the Sandokai. Within light, there is darkness, but do not try to understand that darkness. Within darkness, there is light, but do not look for that light. Light and darkness are a pair, like the foot before and the foot behind in walking. Another activity or action that we take in the Zendo are prostrations. From your standing position, you put your hands in gassho and bow deeply from the waist. Begin to kneel, using your hands to help you lower gently. Lie your toes flat so that your shin and ankles are on the ground. Sit back on your heels, lean your body forward, placing your elbows and forearms on the floor in front of your knees. Your hands are open, palms up. Lower your forehead to the ground and lift your forehead, forearms, keeping your hands flat. Lead by the wrists as if Buddha has a foot in each hand and you're lifting him up with your hands so that he doesn't fall down. Pamela said Michael Newhall taught her that you don't want to throw Buddha over your shoulders, but you want to lift him from your hands over your head as you bow. Lower your hands flat to the ground. Sit up on your knees and stand up using your hands on the ground to support you to get up. Put your hands in gassho. Bowing. Some people take this gesture as nothing special. Ah, but it is. Be awake. Feel your hands in gassho and your body bending at the waist. Breathe with it. Who and what are you bowing to? Are you bowing in gratitude for your cushion for supporting your sitting? Show it. Whatever brings you to bow, do it with awareness. Bowing has meaning. Dogen says, it is extremely difficult to harmonize body and mind. However, neither a clear head nor a good knowledge of learning is of great importance, any more than is mind, will, consciousness, thought, understanding, or perception. All of these are useless. To enter the stream of Buddhism, one must simply harmonize the body and the mind. Shakyamuni said that one must turn the stream of compassion within and give up both knowledge and recognition and its recognition. The means by which Buddhism is transmitted is the beyond normal intelligence and understanding. Look carefully at all signs within yourself. Meditate upon yourself and train hard. And to end, I would like to read a poem by Angie Boisevain. Comfortable. How the end of summer's day takes us in, comforting and soft. The singing at twilight, last birds saying what they need to. Leaves shift on their stems, their edges opened to receive and to yield up. We're not sleeping yet, but moving into sleep and grateful that night will come and release us. Wrapped as we are at the coming dark with its surefire stars, which opens like a cryptic book to our eyes. We offer ourselves to one another like closed hands opening, just as the mind opens to a certain kind of joy. I will open to comments or questions, but please keep in mind that I have a don't know mind. Paula?
I'm so happy for you that you have a don't know mind.
Are you speaking, Paula?
Yeah.
On the computer is not turned off.
It's not turned on. Okay. How do I do that?
That's common.
Sorry, Paula, just a moment.
That's okay. I love seeing you two there.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I said, I'm very glad that you have been able and have the opportunity to see and recognize your don't know mind while there at Sesshin. That's maybe something missing to me here at home, except when I'm sitting. But I know how it is at Sesshin, and as the days go on, and you know, you pretty much know less and less, at least in terms of yes or no, or this is that, and that is something else. I'm just so happy for the people who are there that this is going on. And it's been very inspiring to me to be doing the sittings. Bill and I are doing the sittings together. And I think there's only skip one. Yeah, we're going to skip one this afternoon after the talk, I think. But it's just great. I'm so happy.
So glad you're participating with us too, and Balin as well.
Of course. I signed on for this. I'm staying. Yeah. That's a beautiful, beautiful talk.
Thank you, Paula. Hogan.
Judy, thank you for mentioning bowing. I just want to say I've noticed the depth of your bows, and it feels really good to be witness to that and be part of that. Can you share with me a little more of what goes on for you? What goes on for you in one of those bows? Yeah.
Hogan's asking what goes on for me when I bow. First of all, I do not take my bows for granted. I consider the person that I'm facing and the feeling I have inside. And I gather it up here. And I express it with the bow. And maybe that's what you see, because every bow for me has meaning. So, you know, I just see, even not just here, but in the outside world, how bowing just isn't looked at as anything special. But it's so special. It even just brings me to tears just talking about it. So I hope this brings an awareness to this form, that form, bowing.
No one can talk. And I also am struck by your bowing, have been even online. I can see you going farther than everyone else. And I appreciate it. I know you're communicating something with that bow. I've known it from day one. But I wanted to ask you, I remember, I don't actually remember the bodily feeling, but I remember hearing people having a lot of resistance to bowing.
Yes.
And I'm not asking if you had that resistance. What I am asking is how you have dealt with resistance to form, or how you have spoken about resistance to form, how you've helped others to look inside to see what that might really be. I think that's what you do.
Yes. So thank you, Pamela, for that question. I myself have not had any resistance to the forms that I learned here in Zen. I questioned it. Like when you first come to sit in a sangha, you question it. You go, well, what am I doing? And you follow the prostrations and you go, oh my God, what does this mean? what does that mean? And it doesn't matter. It's a form. It holds us. That's what I found, that it doesn't really matter, but it does matter. It's form and emptiness and form. And don't ask me about emptiness, because I won't talk about it in this talk. But when I see others, let's say, I heard it was here at my first session, heard one of the Sangha members here say, that he didn't get the bowing at first for many years. He didn't get it. He just went through the motion and, you know, whatever, bow, you know, on to the next thing. And then I think in time, he realized the reverence that it shows, the thought behind it, the feelings behind it. And I think he got it. And I remember meeting him. I was on my way to Copen's memorial and he was just coming up the pathway. And we were crossing paths and I stopped and he stopped and we bowed to each other very deeply. And I'll never forget that bow. It meant so much to me that this man who didn't understand bowing bowed so deeply to me. I just accept that people are where they are with their form. Either you'll come to it or you won't. It's just how I see it. I don't think anything more about it. It doesn't, it might bug me because I'm so much of a perfectionist that it kind of bugs me. I have to be honest. But then I let that go. I let that thought go, like we do in Zazen, right? So it's what I do a lot in my life. Zazen has helped me to let go of any extra thoughts that I might have about things or people or, you know, what's going on. I just try not to hold on to anything and just let it be what it is. Because we all have our time. You know, I used to think to myself, I wish I would have come to Zen sooner in my life. No, I came to it right at the right time, just the exact right time in the right way. And, you know, that's just how it is. And I accept it. So Zazen has really helped me in just accepting things the way they are, meeting things as they are.
Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jokoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jokoji, please visit us on the web at jokoji.org.